Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Quite a big surprise to me.
What, the child or the birth?
Everything.
You didn't know what was going on?
No.
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 I did work up until just 2 weeks before, so at least I'm glad that I worked right to the end.
Yeah, I worked up until about 4 hours before, just FYI.
Well done, Matt. I'd heard it's like your body running a marathon.
Yeah.
So you would train for a marathon. So I was like laying on the bed being examined. What did you say?
All I can think is like, when do I bring the car seat up? Oh no, Emmy's not going to let me leave it down. So as soon as she went out of the room, I literally just grabbed you and went, come on, we've got to get you onto your hands and knees.
I was like, you got one job.
Yeah. Then I went and got a coffee.
Are you going to be down the business end or are you going to be up at Emily's head? When I was young, I did a skydive. And then afterwards, you're like...
Yeah, buzzing.
This adrenaline, it was
But with
a
the skydive, you could just get on with your life. Once you have a baby,
you're like broken.
My partner missed cutting the cord as he was doing the poo.
That is so you. Hi, guys. I'm Emily Norris.
And I'm Matt Norris.
And welcome back to our podcast, What They Don't Tell You.
But We Will.
Yes, on this podcast, we talk about the lessons that we've learned and are still learning through parenting. And we try to humor it, don't we? And share some tips. In this episode, we're going to be delving into the topic of labor and birth. We have three children, so we've done it three times. We're going to share a little bit from each of their birth stories.
What have we done three times?
I've done.
Yeah.
You were there, but I actually gave birth and they were pretty smooth, really.
You've never told me about this.
Looking back. But they were very different newborns and all very different experiences. We actually had one of them at home, didn't we?
Just
thought I'd pop one out at home.
She's one of those didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah. So we're going to share all of that with you. And actually the birth and labor is something I really feel like we planned for, but we forgot to plan for actually having a person and a baby.
That little
detail.
Bit of information.
Yeah. But no matter how many books you read, you still are not fully prepared.
And I'll try to give my version of events if Emily lets me. We're going to break it down into three sections, basically each child, and their birth and a little bit about their story and what you went through and what I went through.
Oh, yeah, because that was hard for you, isn't it? I don't know how you did that.
I had to have a semi-hot coffee. It was really hard.
I missed 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah, it was a tough night.
Oh, God.
So obviously our eldest making us parents. And all the dynamics that come with...
Breaking my tailbone.
Breaking your tailbone. The dynamics of breaking your tailbone.
I don't know if that's like a rare thing or not, but I've not met anyone else who that's happened to.
We'll go into that.
Yeah.
We've got scans, all sorts. Part two, we'll talk about our middle child, who was the perfect baby.
Perfect labour.
Yeah, real chubby little child. But we had problems with the midwives.
Yeah.
So there's obviously more to that story. And then our third and final son.
We had at home.
Home birth.
Yes.
And obviously the dynamics of becoming a family of five and why you might want to rethink if you're thinking about having a third child.
No. Okay, we'll get into that, but I don't think you can lead with that.
I've got a strong argument.
You have three kids. You can't tell people not
that.
To.
I wouldn't change that for the world, but I'm advising others to have those conversations.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let's get into it.
So first up, 2010, mm-hmm. we had our first child.
Yep.
Which I didn't really know much about, to be honest. Quite a big surprise to me.
What, the child or the birth?
Everything.
You didn't know what was going on?
No.
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 But luckily, we did NCT classes.
Yes.
Which taught you
so
zero.
For those that don't know what NCT is.
Oh, yes. It's prenatal classes.
Yeah.
So it's funny, actually, because you are like thrown together with other couples that just happen to be pregnant at the same time of you.
Yeah.
And then you have lessons about newborns, babies, birth, and you do it all together.
Yeah,
don't
it's the
you?
Unknown, isn't it? Everyone's positive because they haven't obviously.
It's all first time.
Yeah, it's
really.
All first timers. So like everyone's buzzing to be.
Yeah.
Parents. And yeah, you've obviously got time on your hands to to go to these sessions and stuff. Whereas obviously come the second and the third, you've got no chance.
Yeah. And it is funny how like you're just thrown together with these people. Like you might not choose them as friends, but then the next thing you know,
yeah,
we're
still in touch with some of them, but you hear some like make friends for life and then some never talk to them. Like there's some we don't talk to. You just drift apart, don't you?
Yeah.
But when you're when it first happens, it's great to be around others that are going through the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when we were doing those prenatal classes, you were like, felt a bit like dragged to them. Like you didn't really want to be there. You sit in a circle and they ask you your name and stuff. But then there were a few things that actually were quite helpful. Like I actually thought that, you know, when they show you like different colors of what the poo will be.
Yeah.
That was actually quite helpful because you know when it's that bright yellow and you don't necessarily know that's going to happen.
Because if it was us, we'd think it was unwell.
Or if it was green or like when they actually showed that. And then when it happened, when he was born, I was like, oh, it's okay. This is just that first stage. Yeah. It's green. It's going to be fine. So yeah. But in my pregnancy, as I mentioned, I do carry quite big, don't I?
You always remind me of how much weight you put on.
I mean.
Yeah. But I think when you're around someone, you don't obviously.
You're around.
You have to like cross the kitchen to get past them.
But I think as well, where I'm like quite short and petite.
Yeah.
I just carried like quite, I waddled from like 4 months, I swear.
Yeah.
I was like,
I didn't know any difference. So I was like, yeah, you're pregnant. Like, it didn't like happen overnight. It was obviously like a gradual thing. It's only when you said, oh, I put on 4 stone. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I know you'd obviously.
Each time.
Yeah.
But that's obviously just how I am.
That's how you carry it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then look what we got from it.
Exactly.
Semi worth it.
So with all three of our children, they were all overdue, weren't they? Fraser, my first, was 6 days overdue. And obviously it being my first, I thought, oh, he's going to be early. You know, it's going to be on time. I actually really...
Because you just felt really pregnant, right?
I just felt so pregnant. He was so low and I was like so ready. I did work up until just 2 weeks before. So at least I'm glad that I worked right till the end.
Yeah, I worked up until about 4 hours before, just FYI.
Well done, Matt. But he was 6 days late. Caleb was 6 days late. Jackson was 11 days late. Yeah. So I did always feel like very overdue. But when it finally happened, it was actually a bit like a movie.
Yeah.
I remember I woke up, I'd had sleep and I had like a few pains. And then I woke up and as I was brushing my teeth, like my waters went. And apparently that only happens to like 1 in 10 people, like it's, you know, having the waters break before the birth.
Yeah.
So I was glad it did because as soon as it happened, I was like, right, this is like
you was in the
movies.
Bathroom,
yeah, I was stood in the bathroom in my dressing gown, like nothing got ruined or wet or anything. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is it. Today's the day. And it was your day off. So you're really happy about that.
So.
And we just sort of, you know, were hanging around and like waiting, but the contractions were coming. So we did go to the hospital and typical like, oh, your first birth, you know, it's going to be ages. It's going to be over 24 hours. That's what they said to me.
Because you had hypnobirthing, hadn't you? You'd been doing hypnobirthing.
Yes.
So like I was on this illusion that I need to tell them that she's on the hypnobirth. Like,
yes. Yeah, I did hypnobirthing with all three.
Yeah.
And I would actually really recommend that if anyone is listening that they're pregnant.
We don't know any different movies, so it's hard. Like, I guess in a way you should have probably done one without just to see the different plots, but also your body and your pain.
The pain. No, but I just heard so many good things about it. And because it's such a big strain on your body, I just felt that anything I can do to prep for it can only be a good thing because I'd heard it's like your body running a marathon.
Yeah.
So you would train for a marathon. So I was like, okay, I'm going to train my mind and, you know, do all the right things, keep walking, keep active for this birth. But because I was doing hypnobirthing, the lady that I did it with did say you might seem more relaxed than others when you go into the hospital because I had my headphones in and I was breathing well. And I remember she said to me, if it was a really bad contraction, you wouldn't be able to talk during it. I think I was saying a few things and she was like, you wouldn't be able to talk. So anyway, I got turned away. They didn't even look at me. They just turned me away. They're like, go home, relax.
You also have a really high pain threshold. Which obviously the midwives don't know that. And like, they're just doing their job, aren't they? So for them, they're just delivering babies. So like, just delivering babies is amazing. But they're so overwhelmed that they kind of need you coming in with the baby.
Yeah, they're probably thereabouts. Busy.
Like,
And I suppose like if textbook is your first baby's going to take over 24 hours, that's the norm.
Yeah.
So they sort of sent us away.
Yeah.
But we lived about 40 minutes from the hospital. Yeah. So all this like driving in the car, I think it was just bringing me on even more.
It wasn't helping.
Yeah. So as soon as we got home, I actually was bleeding down there and I was really worried. So Matt called the paramedics and then a paramedic came, didn't he?
Yeah, that's great.
And we were in this little one bedroom flat. He came up the stairs and he was like, I'm going to have to examine you. Yeah, it was mad. So I was like laying on the bed being examined. What did you say?
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You don't remember.
I don't know what I said, but I remember, something along the lines of, didn't think I'd be watching another man on my bed looking at my
down
wife.
There. Or...
And it just seemed really normal, didn't it? It's like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's like, obviously, she's doing his job.
Yeah.
It's just like, Emily's like, legs open. Like,
he made some like sort of joke.
To see how far she was gone.
Yeah.
And if she was dilated. And you were, weren't you, Denise?
I think it was like 5 centimeters. Yeah. So he was like, baby's not coming like right now, but he was like, you need to get back to hospital. And again, it was 40 minutes in the car, and he said, I would get you an ambulance, but like, it's quicker if you just go now in the car. So we just went back again. But again, I just remember hating the car journeys because the pain was so bad. And then when we got there, it was like, okay, you're in established labor. They gave us a room and everything.
I think they did try to palm him off a bit, didn't they? Because they're obviously just delivering babies, so they're just like, till it's coming out. But then I think you were a lot further gone than they thought at first. And I said, look, she's doing hypnobirthing. She's got a high pain threshold. Like, I know it's her first, but I think she probably is further gone than you might think. And then, And then how many hours?
I think his labor, like in the notes, it says it was 7 hours.
Yeah.
So I remember they said to me at midnight, we're going to start pushing. And I was like, okay, he's going to be born on the 7th. I remember thinking, oh, it's midnight, and then he's going to be the 7th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was all quite straightforward, wasn't he? Like, bless him, though. He came out with, like, bloodshot eyes because of the pressure and, like, the speed of it. And he was, like, quite purple. It was like this little alien.
Yeah. Well, that's when it hit me as a dad. Like, you were obviously pregnant. You were carrying it. You put on weight. But you don't really... For me, I didn't realise until that moment when he came out.
That you were having a baby.
That I was a dad. Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of men get emotional right there and then. Because for me, I obviously thought about changing the dynamics of our relationship and obviously being a family and supporting the baby. But that was when it hit you. You already got this bond, haven't you, with the baby.
You feel
you've grown it. And that's when it hit me. It's just like, wow, it's this big lump of flesh just like covered in blood. Just
it's chucked yours.
Onto you and like... Yeah, I was just like, wow, like, your life just changed right there. And then obviously we're really fortunate as well to be able to have that. And that hits you as well. It's like, oh my God, like,
Everything
comes at once. And then it's downhill from there, really.
No, but looking back, it is funny because we went to this hospital. It was brand new, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And downstairs. Yeah, we literally like, oh, that one's lovely. It's brand new. It's like, it was like a private.
Yeah, you know, good, it was like good, good reputation. It wasn't private.
Yeah. No, it was no, like, it felt private because it was brand new. Yeah, yeah. So what was it called again, should we say?
Yeah, Broomfield.
Yeah, it was Broomfield in Chelmsford. Yeah. So we were like, okay.
All I always had my eyes on was there was a new Costa coffee in there.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was like, yeah, I can nip off, have a coffee.
Do you know what I mean? No, but looking back, we were like, oh, there's a Costa downstairs. There's an M&S food. M&S
food. I think, oh, this could be nice.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, it's taking so long. You can go down, like, get some coffee.
No chance.
You didn't leave the room.
No, well, unless I could cut my hand off, I couldn't leave the room.
I did really need to hold you the whole time. Yeah.
But then, yeah, once you're there, you don't want to leave anyway.
No.
Actually, in my head, though, all I was thinking was like, they've obviously put such, especially with VNT, they put such a thing about the car seat. Obviously, it's legal. It's like illegal.
You can't leave.
You can't leave without one. But all I could think was like, when do I bring the car seat up? It's like this dilemma in my head. Like, you're giving birth, like, you're in labour, like, all the pain that you're in, and all I'm worried about is like, oh, should I bring the car seat up now? It's like, really not a trivial thing. Just wait until the baby's
here. That was your job. Yeah. And actually, that's actually a tip for if anyone is, you know, having a baby, it is really good to give you jobs, because otherwise you feel a bit like you're there, but you're not a doctor, you're not giving birth, you don't really know what you're doing. No. I remember in our second labour with Caleb, which we'll talk about, your main job was to, one, say to the midwife, like, please let me stay, because of the first one was a bit of a stress. But then also it was to track my contractions on the app.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, so with Caleb, it was very similar. Like, I was like laboring at home. It was very straightforward, wasn't it? But then we obviously had a two-year-old. So we needed Fraser to be cared for by your mum. So that all of that took time.
Yeah.
So by the time we'd sorted Fraser out with everything, then we went to the hospital. It was like very close, wasn't
what
it?
We should point out in the first labour was, which we said before, was about you breaking your
tailbone. Yes.
Which was obviously on our mind this with Caleb, second birth. Because we discovered that you shouldn't give birth, you especially shouldn't give birth on your back. That's what broke your tailbone. But I don't blame them. But the midwives, I imagine it's a lot easier for them to deliver a baby, a woman just laid on a bed.
Yeah.
But for you, it was just, we'd done the research. It was like, and I went in there and I was obviously second time around, you think you know everything because you've done it once. And I was just like, she can't give birth on her back.
Yeah.
She needs to be stood up or on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
And, she just wasn't having it, was she?
Yeah.
And I just kept saying, oh, she really can't be on her back. And she was like, no, I'm just doing a few more checks. And so then she went out of the room
because
the baby was
over.
Coming. And I, somehow.
Yeah. You know, that it's funny, like, obviously I gave birth to Fraser on my back because that is what you see in the movies.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what you think of. But because I have a tilted pelvis, basically, I had to like push him through my tailbone. So I did crack my tailbone, which is weird. At the time, I didn't feel it. I only felt it once we'd got home. The pain was like, wow. Yeah. And then I had physio for my tummy. And then I mentioned the pain then and they did an x-ray and they were like, oh yeah, it is cracked. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
But it's cracked. I was thinking, what was the point in doing the x-ray? But they said, oh, you know, it's better to give birth standing up or, you know, on all fours. So that was your main job with the second one.
Yeah.
But then by the time...
Maybe my wife looked a bit weird when I went, I want her on all fours. She's
oh, like, my God. No, she was very like, oh, no, just a few more checks.
Yeah, she
just
thought, she's obviously had a long shift or whatever. And she just, for her, I should imagine, it's so much easier to deliver with a woman on her back than, you know what I mean? Because you've got to catch the baby and whatever. It's probably not the most ideal way of doing things.
Yeah.
And she kept sawing off, oh, no, Emmy's not going to let me live it down. So as soon as she went out of the room, I literally just grabbed you and went, come on, we've got to get you onto your hands and knees.
I was like, you've got one job.
Yeah.
But
then I went and got a coffee.
But again, with that second birth, I think it was very much, we just arrived and we were like, it's happening. And they were a bit like, you know, hold on a minute. And then he was born very quickly once we'd got there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Luckily we made it.
Yeah.
But I did find her. I remember like making small talk with the midwife in between contractions. And I said, oh, you know, have you got any kids? No. That's all she said. No. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know. I was feeling like, But you don't know.
Could be a hard topic for her, but it's crazy that she does that job. Bless her, because when she first started, that was what she wanted to do, to have children.
Yeah.
You got to feel for people there.
Yeah, no, I just felt like she was like quite shut down and So that was like tricky, but luckily it was all like very straightforward.
Yeah.
But then that is why we had the third at home. I said to Matt, like, I'm going to give birth on the A12.
I think you didn't
the
you
second
say,
he was born, yeah.
I've got it on video. Yeah, if you're pulling Caleb onto you saying, oh, I have to have the next one at home.
I was already like planning the
Even
third.
Even though I was in the moment, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, literally,
you want to do that again?
Given birth. Yeah, they say you forget, but I was like, I'm
not that
cool,
quickly.
Still on.
I know, I knew I wanted more.
But you were right, obviously, yeah. You had, the labours were actually straightforward, weren't they? Like, so you was the... Right.
Well, I actually think I said to you about having the second at home, and you said to me, I'm just really not comfortable having him at home, like if anything happens. So I was like, okay, like we'll do the hospital again. But with the third, I thought he's going to be born on the A12.
Yeah.
Like on the motorway. In the car. And I just really didn't want that to happen. And actually, Jackson's birth. So number three.
Yeah.
Again, we had two kids, we needed to sort them out. My mum actually, I was having contractions. He was 11 days overdue. So I was really fed up, wasn't I? And we were having contractions. And my mum, they actually had a birthday party to go to. So I was like, you take him to the birthday party and I'll just stay and wait for Matt. Called you at work.
Yeah.
And then we called the midwife.
So on Saturday.
Yeah, busy day for you. But you were like, oh, at least, you know, I was really busy this morning, afternoon. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll let you off. Go on, you can come.
Yeah, and we called the midwife and he was born in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And so after the 2-hour party, my mum just came back with the boys after the party and we were like,
2 hours old.
Here's your baby brother.
Yeah.
We're thinking they're going to think it's that quick when they're older.
But he obviously pooed on the way out, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he actually had to go into hospital after all that.
Mm.
But it turned out a good thing, didn't it? Because it meant you actually got a night, not a night off.
No,
but
yeah.
We got to spend the night, well, I come to see you for a few hours and you got to spend the night in hospital being looked after. Mm. And I went home and obviously looked after the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you'd have been at home, there'd have been literally no rest for you.
Yeah. It was, it actually worked out, didn't it? But I remember I was really gutted because I was really hoping for this home birth to then just like have a bath, get into bed. I even had like, we had like Prosecco in the fridge for it. And it was like the X Factor final or something. I was like, oh, we can just sit here. But she was like, oh no, because of the meconium, you need to go in and be monitored for 24 hours or something. Then they got me an ambulance, didn't they?
Yeah.
And like took me all the way
in. It could
have
been a lot worse, couldn't it? As...
Hmm.
As bad as it could have been like for other, I mean, for what other people go through, like it was lucky really. And it ended up being like, it's not like a hotel, but for you, it was just like a night off, wasn't
it? They got me my own room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to go and sit with you and have a cuddle with a baby and stuff. And
yeah.
And then our life was over. Holidays changed forever.
Stop. But no, but I think it's actually... I know, obviously, it's harder for us. And, you know, I know we were really lucky with our birth. I have so many friends that have like birth trauma, had really horrendous times, and it was really, really hard. But I do feel for men in a way, because you are just kind of there and you don't really know. Yeah, you're a bit of a spare part, but also you remember everything. So when I was in labor, I was almost like in this zone. One, because I did the hypnobirthing, but also the pain is so intense and you're on gas and air and you're a bit like, I don't know, I felt like I wasn't really there sometimes. Whereas you very much were there and in the room and remember everything.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, there was a lot of talk of like, are you going to be down the business end or are you going to be up at Emily's head?
I never understood that when people said like, what, where are you going to be? I'm like, I mean, she's 5'4". Like even if you were 6 foot, like it's like
you're
there.
Right there.
You see in everything. Do you know what I mean? And like you obviously had a baby. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone's always obsessing over that question. I was like, it's going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's going to ruin.
Sheet up and stuff or what have you. But yeah, like it's going to ruin you. The woman, your wife or the love of your life is like delivering your baby, I think. Like,
yeah,
you're past worrying about what things look like, and
yeah,
you're not even thinking about it. When it's like, then she's like, oh, do you want to touch the head? I was like,
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, but I actually think, like, when I was giving birth to Fraser, because the pushing was taking a while, when she said, oh, do you want to touch the head? And then I did, and it had hair. Yeah. It actually made it real.
Yeah.
I was like, right. Like,
it's got hair.
It must, like, give you something. They obviously know that,
yeah,
midwives.
Yeah.
Like, this
through.
Is going to make her, like, you know.
I mean,
really...
you felt sorry for me. We didn't. But you're looking back, you feel sorry for men. But it was one of the men in the one of the other rooms. I could hear his wife. I was like, jeez.
Like that,
just so vocal. Some
it's like farm animal noises,
yeah,
isn't it? It's like, ooh,
yeah. The noises that come out.
It is very animalistic giving birth, and I must admit, for me afterwards, I felt like Superwoman.
Yeah.
I felt like I could do anything. Yeah, it was the biggest high.
What it even was for me as a dad, and obviously I haven't gone through what you've gone through, but even as a guy, like, you can't, whenever you obviously get jealous of people that are having babies, and like, I do obviously say to dads, like, you just got to soak up, especially those first few days.
Yeah.
Like, nothing beats it, does it?
Yeah, you're on such a high.
And that's what you feel for people that obviously can't have children as well, because not having that high, it's only when you've had it.
Yeah.
You realise just what it is.
Yeah, some also why you think, oh, I have another one. Like, that's like an incredible, like, almost a bit like when I was young, I did a skydive. And then afterwards you're like,
yeah, buzzing.
This adrenaline. It was
but with
a
the
bit
skydive,
like,
you could just get on with your life. Or you have a baby.
You're like broken. Yeah, that's true.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We really want to get you guys involved in these episodes and share some of your stories as well. So I asked on my Instagram if you had any funny or crazy birth or labor stories, and we've had so many through. So I wanted to read a few out to you guys that we thought were like absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, there's a mix of funny and serious, mostly funny.
I mean, there were so many lovely ones as well. Yeah. I think as women, I don't know about you, I love a birth story.
Yeah, I mean, I relate to this one. My partner missed cutting the cord as he was doing a poo.
That is so you, isn't it? That
I
is
just love
so
it, the fact
something.
That he didn't miss the birth. He just missed cutting the cord. So it's like, the baby's here, right? Got to get this.
I've been desperate.
All this pushing has made me realise.
I really want to push.
Yeah. At least I never did that. So I'd have missed the first couple of days of their life.
Yeah. I've got one here. I've got a few short ones and then like also a few longer ones, but. One said, my midwife kept turning off my fan, so I threatened to throw ice cubes at her if she did it again.
Nice.
I think that is so that you do get this like rage.
Imagine like, what my midwives must have to deal with. Like, and they only see that side of you. I mean, obviously they see the joy, oh, it's great, of the baby coming. That's more detail. But yeah, the women, the mums that they must get going in there.
Yeah. But they probably see all the emotions because... I think you actually go through different emotions throughout
the
labor.
The worst and best day
so
of
they
life,
must
right?
think, oh, rage, we're nearly there. Or and then they have the baby and they're like, thank you so much. Remember, I had pictures with our midwives.
Yeah.
So like they must just see this like roller coaster of emotions and your hormones are going crazy, mustn't they?
You talked about doing it, didn't you, after?
Oh, I actually think I would love to be a midwife.
Yeah.
I think I would be good. I don't know. I think I'd be like, I don't know.
I don't know.
But then it's quite hard.
Yeah. The emotions, the sad times.
Yeah.
I agreed to let a student into my C-section. She fainted just after the incision was made.
Oh my God.
I wonder if she went on to do it.
Wow. That's hard if you're a doctor and the blood is making you.
Might just be the
just everything.
Yeah.
It's just like a lot to deal with. I've got one here. My water's broke in the cinema and my husband said, can we stay for 20 minutes to see the rest of the film?
It's fair enough. Especially if it was the first. You know, it was going to be a while.
I don't know, she's probably leaking everywhere.
Did they watch the rest of it? She could have gone on her own.
She didn't say she left me on a cliffhanger.
Get an Uber. Here we go. The nurse came in to pop in my cannula. Next thing, she's ringing for backup because the hubby's fainted in the chair because he doesn't like needles. I've never let him live it down.
Just from that bit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I wonder how he dealt with the baby then coming out of her.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Someone said, my husband stopped the police while driving to the hospital when I was in labour and we had a police escort to the hospital.
Brilliant.
That's what we needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not funny or particularly crazy, but you inspired me to have a home birth with my second.
Oh, that's amazing.
Didn't have three though, did you?
I think like where I vlogged it as well.
Yeah.
And you could see like the whole step-by-step everything. And I even did like me prepping for the home birth, like the things I bought.
You did sell it, didn't you? It was like people must have seen that and thought, actually, if they'd had straightforward births before, it does make sense.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough.
Yeah. Oh, and when I was planning the home birth, I was like, this is how women did it forever, like for years and years and years. You just had the baby at home and the midwife came to you.
It was always my concern though, wasn't it? That obviously things aren't as available at home. Because you've done it so smoothly two times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would recommend it. If you've had a straightforward first one, I don't see why.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, I remember when I was about to give birth with Caleb, you know, I was getting overdue with him. And I said to the midwife, not midwife, but my doctor at the time, I was like, oh, you know, now I'm at the end of this second pregnancy. I'm remembering what I have to do. Like you get to the end and you're like, oh God, I've got to like, you know, actually get this baby out again. And I remember she said to me, oh, don't worry. Seconds are much easier. The path's already been dug. And that really stuck with me. I was like,
true though.
It was true. But
when you look like that, you're like, oh my God, yeah.
What a way to say it. Like, don't worry, the path's been dug. But... but also poor Fraser having to like get out of like...
the first one out.
Yeah. That's why he
found his way.
His bloodshot eyes. And
Caleb was like, whee!
Yeah, he's just flying out.
Like using the sides to get down.
It was like, oh, hi. Like,
Whereas Jackson, I had to catch him, didn't I?
Yeah.
We didn't really talk much about that, about Jackson's delivery.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said it was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't give birth to him. But the midwife was on her own, wasn't she? So like they're meant to be, when you have a home birth, there's meant to be two midwives there. And for whatever reason, the second one couldn't get there or is a change of shift or something.
Mm.
And you could see her panicking a bit, the girl, but she was obviously really experienced, but I think she'd maybe not done it on her own, didn't like to do it on her own.
Mm.
So I think I even said, it's okay. Like, I've done it twice. I'm an expert.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I just said, I can help.
And, yeah.
And I knew your signs of when you were, and then you went on the toilet.
Actually, that was funny because you two were talking about, like, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then you went, oh, don't worry. I know when Emily's about to give birth because she sits on the toilet.
Yeah.
And she went, where is she now? And you went, oh my God, she's on the toilet.
And it was coming in. And she 2 minutes later, he was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, that sofa.
Sofa.
Okay. This is from Peyton. My second, a boy, was born breech. We didn't know, and I delivered him that way. The nurses were shook. They had never seen a breech delivery. When they checked me at 10 centimetres, they told me my baby had a mass on his head. It was a testicle. He came out booty first. We then found out he needed to be transferred. We then found out he needed open heart surgery. So we had to be transferred to a different hospital, all while I had a spinal fluid leak from my epidural and was in a lot of pain. He's almost three now and doing so well. His defect was, did you spell it?
Is it T-A?
T-A-P-V-R or TAP-V-R. If you end up sharing this, February is heart month. So I share his story all month long to spread awareness of congenital heart defects disease. One in 125 babies are born with a heart defect. Wow.
Oh, that's quite a lot, really.
Yeah. Also wanted to add that he was out in one push, the biggest push of my life.
Wow.
I felt like a badass.
And for And breached.
And breached.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love that, the testicles.
I know, that is so funny. But also, like, if they'd said, oh, there's a mass on his head, you would worry, wouldn't you? You'd be worried. But also the pain of, well, I've heard the pain of back-to-back or breach is like horrendous.
You think so you're hard.
She is a superwoman.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
But great though as well that it spreads awareness now. She's obviously using it as a...
Yeah, it's actually quite a lot of people then. One in 125.
Yeah. Which leads me on to my moan. Matt's moan.
Matt's moan of the week.
Emily likes this more than I do.
I'm used to them. You moan all the time.
Another Matt's moan. I've got two, actually.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, have you?
Maybe.
Is it about me? The first, again, this is probably a British thing, and it's the Red Book.
Hmm. Is that still a thing?
Well, I'm sure someone's going to tell us because we haven't had a baby for 8 years.
Please let us know.
It's not still a thing. And there's some sort of new digital app that you have for your baby. But in the UK, you needed a Red Book, which was like, it's kept track of
like
all sorts.
Height, weight, size.
Yeah, of when the baby was born. So you'd go to get it weighed, et cetera. Yeah, so they'd make notes in there. But every baby meeting you went to, and I'd take him sometimes, and I?
Have you got the Red Book?
Have you got the Red Book? No, I've not got the Red Book, but I've got my baby. Yeah. So, like, you can still do the checks, surely. Mm. And it was always this awkward conversation.
I know. I always felt like this should be electronic. Yeah. Like, even you'd take them to their, like, 2-year vaccinations.
Yeah, I know. So, they're just doing their job, obviously. They need to keep a paper record, but it was just so frustrating that that was the way that they would keep track of your babies.
Like, you're going for vaccination. They're like, where's the Red Book? We want to see his other vaccinations. It's like, surely, like, you did them here at this doctor's office.
Yeah.
It must be on the system. Like, it must be somewhere.
Yeah.
That Red Book was very annoying.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're putting that in room 101.
Yeah.
And the second, talking of Red Books, the second moan is when people call the baby baby.
How's that?
When we went on the NCT classes, so when you're breastfeeding baby, like, the baby. Like, I don't, is it my English? Like, everything was the baby. So, no, the baby, your baby, a baby, my baby, our baby.
I hate that.
Baby.
Yeah.
So if you take baby, only Justin Bieber can say baby.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, or you didn't really
mind? No, it was weird. It was really weird. I don't know if it was just her, but I have heard other people
do it as well.
Not even like he or she. It was just like baby.
Yeah.
And you're right. It wasn't even the baby. Yeah. It was just like strange thing. Yeah.
Sorry, that's my moan.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Glad I got that off my chest. Glad three people have agreed with me. What's your moan, Emily?
Well, it's not really a moan. It's just some research that I saw recently in the press. And I think I was getting it a lot on Instagram, probably because I have three and maybe I like a lot of that content. You know, the funny content where they show like the different traits of children.
Especially of three, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. But there was this new research out about middle children being the most cooperative and being the best at sharing. And there were all kinds of traits. And they were basically saying that middle children are the best kind of children. And although I was like, it's really nice because you do get middle child like comments, people saying like, oh, you know, is he a nightmare? Middle child syndrome. You hear a lot of that. Yeah. But I've always known that our middle Caleb is amazing in so many ways, you know, and I've always said, you know, I think he's going to be really successful. You know, he's so social, he's so good with people and all of that. But just the research was annoying me because it was very much like they are the best children. And I just feel like, why does there have to be a study that's like, no, these are the best? Because there's also ones that say about the eldest being the best or the, you know, youngest. We're both youngest children.
We would have been middle, but our parents didn't have another.
Yeah. I was middle for, But yeah, so we're both youngest.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, why can't all
it's
children
like labeling, isn't
just
it?
Be the best? Why do we have to do these studies? I think they said, you know, there were 700,000 people in this study and like, you know, they just seemed the most cooperative.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, why can't all children just be amazing and best?
They're
why do we have to say, oh, you know, these ones are better than this one? Like, all of our boys
because
are amazing.
Because people reading these articles, if you are the middle child, you're like, I'm going to show this to my siblings.
I do think
siblings.
You're liking it, you're sharing it, yeah. you know.
I've got another moan, actually.
Oh, God.
Just because we were talking on babies, otherwise it'd be irrelevant in another topic. People saying that how much you look like, how much your baby looks like, whoever.
Oh.
I'm like, it just used to bore me. Obviously, like, our middle one really looks like me.
Mm.
But obviously it also gets mums and dads' backs up as well, doesn't it? So I think it's actually quite a sensitive subject. People don't realise, oh, doesn't he look like you? It's like, oh, she's just given birth to him.
Yeah, I must admit, as a mother-in-law, I'm going to be a mother-in-law to three, aren't I?
Yeah.
I will never say that if we have grandchildren one day, I'm not going to say, oh, they look just like Fraser,
but
Caleb.
I guess we didn't have it, but I guess for a mother-in-law, obviously, or a mother. On the mum side as well. It's like, it obviously just takes them straight back, doesn't it, to being parents.
Exactly.
And they probably do see really real similarities. They're probably the only ones that can comment on if
but
it looked like them.
It's funny because, like, say, obviously, your children do remind your parents of you.
Yeah.
So my mum's like, oh, he looks so much like you did. But then your mum's like, he looks so much like he did.
Yeah.
But I do remember, like, with Fraser, maybe, when we had him, you know, everyone was saying how much he actually looked like you because he was a boy and whatever.
Because he was an ugly baby.
No, because he was everyone was like, oh, he looks just like Matt. But I was like, oh, I am involved. Like, I carried him for 9 months.
Yeah, you got offended. Not offended,
I've just ruined my
sensitive
body. But now he's actually the one that looks like me.
Yeah.
I think he's
but
the only one.
I'm get so bored of the conversation of, like, who looks like who, because, like, I do think, like, look a bit like me, they do look a bit like you. Like, yeah, no, it's nice, obviously, you're children, but I'm just like, oh, like, it's just small talk. I know, like, if you see something, like, oh my, like, every now and then you see something, go, oh my God, they really look like their sibling or their parent, but, like, no, it's still not.
It is hard, though, like, as a mum, sometimes, because Caleb does look like a clone of you in a way. You know, he does look a lot like you.
Yeah,
but so I totally get it. Like, yeah, he is Matt. He's just Matt. But then I'm like, I was involved. Like, I got the stretch marks to prove it. And I think actually a lot of his personality is more me. Like, I think he might look like you, but then he might act
middle
like
child.
Me. And then I think Fraser actually looks like me, but then he acts like you.
Calm and collected like me.
Yeah. So anyway, that is probably enough about birth stories and labour and everything else. I could literally talk about this all day long.
Yeah.
And I've loved chatting to you guys. I would, of course, love to hear any of your comments down below and, you know, subscribe, rate, review, all the good things wherever you listen to your podcasts and on YouTube as well. If you're here, I would love to also see your comments and your birth stories because I love them. But yeah, thank you so much for listening and watching, and we'll see you guys in our next episode.
See you. Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.